Thank you very much indeed, and thank you for inviting me this evening. I feel rather schizophrenic standing at this podium because, of course, the last time I stood here was as General Secretary of the Royal Society of Edinburgh, so I now have to remember I'm wearing a different hat as Chair of the Scottish Funding Council. And my topic this evening is really to pose a question, a science and innovation strategy for Scotland. I also speak as a social scientist rather than as a scientist, so I hope you'll forgive me for that as well. But I've got quite a number of slides to run through, and I've promised Dougal I will be very quick at rushing through them, but you can get a copy of the slides should you want them afterwards, so don't be dismayed if there's something that you wanted to catch, and I've been rather quick in getting through it. So what I want to do from my position as chair is really share with you some of the Funding Council's activities in supporting science and innovation in Scotland, and to set our activities in the context of the broader investment in science and innovation across Scotland, the UK and Europe, and in doing so, posing the question, should we have a science and innovation strategy for Scotland? Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the quality of the higher education sector and the research base in Scotland, because a lot of you know a lot about that, other than to say we are good, we're very good, and can compete with the best in the world. But as Muffy said, we can't be complacent. Scotland's world-class universities generate economic and societal impacts in parts through a large volume of excellent research. And as elsewhere in the UK, Scotland's universities account for a significant proportion of the country's leading research due to their continuing ability to attract the world's talent, from top talent, and the investment of government and the institutions themselves in cutting-edge frontier research. So it's no accident in that sense. Therefore, our universities are in a strong position to help solve global challenges through their capacity for high-quality, multidisciplinary research. And they continue to play a significant role in international collaborations. And again, we've already heard mention of CERN. So for the Funding Council, provided there is some strategic research and innovation framework, a broad direction of travel, if you like, the fine details of that framework are less important to what we at the Funding Council do and how we do it. We have, of course, reference points from older documents in the past, and just if we remind you of these, one published in 2001 by the Scottish Executive at that time, and I think that was under the term of Wendy Alexander as the appropriate minister, and another one in 2008 when Fiona Hislop was the minister. In any case, with time and regardless of any strategy, including our own as a council, the operational plan underpinning the strategy has to have the capacity to adapt to changing circumstances. And indeed, from time to time, hopefully not too frequently, the strategy itself may need to be adjusted. So what is the current situation from the Funding Council's perspective? Now, many of you will have seen this slide before, and to read it out, a more successful country with opportunities for all of Scotland to flourish through increasing sustainable economic growth. Now, it's the Scottish Government's position on what all of the government, and indeed all of the government's agencies, should be focused on. The Funding Council's action in support of the purpose have been guided by two, what are now slightly old documents, but nonetheless, they are still very relevant to the current situation. And one, of course, is the government's economic strategy, and the other one is putting learners at the centre. Now, while there may be some changes to the government economic strategy in the coming months, we have a little conference of SNP and change of leadership and so on, I suspect that this is likely to be more of a refresh rather than a wholesale reshape. But these documents are translated into a set of outcomes in the Funding Council's current strategic plan. And these are shown here in the slide. These are the outcomes we're looking for, and these types of things that in our discussions and negotiations with the universities, we want to see a number of these areas, for example, widening access. But for the purpose of our discussion this evening, the three key areas are outcome 5, which is a developed workforce, and outcome 7, a research base that is internationally competitive and improving its reputation and standing in the world. And again, we all want that. And last but not least, university-industry collaboration and the exploitation of research. And I know Anne's going to say a little bit more about that. Now, we discharge our responsibility under the Education Act to deliver these outcomes, and the context of a critical feature of the science and innovation framework across the UK, namely the dual support system. All of you will be very aware of that. Now, the funding bodies provide the largely unhypothecated resource, driven by research assessment results, that supports the capacity of our universities to do research, while the other half of the duality, the resource that funds activity, comes largely on a competitive basis from the research councils. And again, a lot of you will be familiar with those. But I just want to stress one point here, and that is a lot of these councils don't just cover research, and I think that's one of the points you might want to draw out, and Muffy's already highlighted, is the interdisciplinary nature and the linkages between science and other areas of research. And our success in securing that funding emphasises the quality of research we have in Scotland. As shown in the next slide, the RCUK attempts to provide a highly skilled workforce as the basis for economic growth and sustainability, support national capability in essential disciplines. It focuses on strategic research and outcomes, supports critical mass and centres of excellence, and encourages multidisciplinary research collaboration. Again, I want to stress that particular point. Now, as part of that multidisciplinary approach, effort is focused on the RCUK's cross-cutting themes, namely digital economy, lifelong health and well-being, living with environmental change, global uncertainties, and we know all about those, nanoscience, and last but not least, energy. Now, of course, there are other sources of funding, and this slide again reminds us of these sources, and very important indeed, including the charities. Now, as you will be aware, and this audience certainly will, in the last 10 years or so, there has been an increased emphasis on the impact of research beyond the academic arena. And this has been reflected in policy, strategy, and funding. And of course, we await with interest the results of the Research Excellence Framework, which we expect in December, to see just how the score for impact has influenced the results. And no doubt we'll be reflecting on a lot of that. And you will be familiar, I'm sure, with Scotland's rankings against OECD countries for HER, that's ITCHI Research and Development Expenditure, and BERD, and that's Business Research and Development Expenditure. Now, what we have in this diagram, and I'm sure some of you have seen it before, is on the HER slide, Scotland right up at the top end here in terms of the amount of investment in this area. But look where Scotland is when it comes to the business side. It's occupying a rather less favourable place at the bottom end. And clearly, one of the big challenges here is to think about, it emphasises two things, I think, that bottom slide. First, we need to stimulate more companies to invest in R&D, and we need to make certain that the R&D in our ITCHI sector makes a contribution to supporting innovation in businesses, thus supporting the wider economy. So there's a kind of dual and two-way benefit, if you like, of that. This is recognised, the position is very much recognised, within the document Scotland Can Do framework. Now, this was launched by Cabinet Secretary John Swinney last year. And the document talks about becoming a world-leading entrepreneurial and innovative nation. Now, the document is designed to be aspirational. It recognises the need for highly skilled, innovative, entrepreneurial people. Our universities, of course, have a key role to play in delivering them. And secondly, the importance of closer engagement of academia and industry in driving innovation. So, similar themes coming through. So in returning to our topic, science and innovation strategy, the question could be asked as to whether Scotland needs its own science and innovation strategy. And I look forward to discussions on that. Why do I say that? Well, the Scottish Government and the Funding Council Board are committed to dual support and to the continued engagement of Scottish researchers with the rest of the UK's research base through the RCUK system, and also, of course, with the partners across the European research area. Also, there is no shortage of research and innovation strategies, as you can see from this broad selection of slides that I'm just going to flash up on your screen. Dougal, this is a nice fast bit. So just look at some of these as we go through them. There's an awful lot going on. So one argument might be that provided that we, Scotland, can influence the strategies that have been developed by BIS, by RCUK and Europe, then we should be able to ensure that at least, for the most part, Scotland's requirements are covered. But clearly, there could be another point of view. So I'll be very interested to hear tonight what particular aspects of research and innovation you consider are not being captured by the broad range of science research and innovation strategies that have been developed with input from Scottish researchers by these various organisations. And of course, working with the research base in Scotland, our own key industry sectors have set out their own innovation strategies. So it could be argued that there's considerable merit in being part of this larger framework, and that if it were not working well for Scotland, we would have taken action long before now. And as you're aware, of course, BIS are in the process of refreshing the UK-wide science and innovation strategy. So whatever your view, in terms of any research and innovation strategy, there have to be some underlying features, which I think are, to a large extent, already a feature of the main strategies set out by RCUK and BIS. And they, beg your pardon, I've come too far on here, they include science research budgets, which should be protected, if you like, ring-fenced. Secondly, we need to maintain an appropriate balance between fundamental and applied research, but ensure we translate research whenever possible. Thirdly, research funding should be, to a large extent, competitive. Fourthly, decisions on research priorities and funding should be governed by the Haldane principle, and you'll be very familiar with that. Next, dual support should be maintained. And again, research excellence should be supported. This may mean concentration of research. And again, Muffy touched on that. Next, capital funding should be balanced to cover the spectrum of research engagement from large-scale international projects through to the small to medium-sized equipment that is essential to high-quality research in universities. We also need to continue to invest in the best people, and Muffy stressed people, and support skills development. We need international mobility of students and researchers. That must be facilitated. And last but not least, research and business interactions are essential. So if we have a separate science strategy for Scotland, one, it would need to cover all of these bases. So let me finish by talking about funding and innovation. I've already touched on the quality of the research base in Scotland, and through the Funding Council, the Scottish Government has provided significant support by increasing the research excellence and research postgraduate grants to sustain that. In the last 4 years, we have placed an increased emphasis on the use of the Funding Council's strategic funds to support innovation. And in doing this, we have worked extremely closely with Scottish Enterprise and Hans Allen's Enterprise, and also with colleagues in the Scottish Government. In this context, we've been developing Innovation Scotland, which takes me to my next slide, building on past and continued investments in the research pools. Now, Innovation Scotland is an overarching framework for a range of investments that are designed to support high-quality research and the translation of that research for the benefit of the economy, the health and the well-being of the people of Scotland, i.e. back to the beginning of the government's purpose. From where we sit, the innovation landscape and the opportunities look a bit like this. It covers pooling, that's a pooling of research expertise across our different universities, interface and innovation vouchers, again, linking our universities with sometimes very small businesses, and there's a question to be asked there, could we extend that to use them in terms of developing skills? We have easy access IP. We have Innovation Scotland that I've just mentioned. We have alignment with Scottish Enterprise and HIES I've mentioned. We have the innovation centres that Muffy referred to and I'll come back to. And we have Horizon 2020. So we've tried to build on the pooling idea, which is now an embedded feature of the Scottish research base. Pooling was designed to support excellence, to build critical mass, increase competitiveness and leverage. So if one institution couldn't do it, working together with others, remembering that you're operating in an internationally competitive field, collectively you could. Provide the state-of-the-art shared facilities and deliver high-quality training. But what is also, we wanted to facilitate cultural change. In other words, greater collaboration and partnership working. And here's just some examples of those. So the pools have put us, in, I would argue, in a very strong position to secure other inward investments in research and innovation, and some are shown on this next slide. They include the Fraunhofer Centre for Photonics, the International Max Planck Partnership, the Catapult in offshore renewable energy, and the MSD Life Sciences investment in SALSA, and the Innovative Medicines Initiative, placing Scotland at the heart of European drug discovery efforts. A huge amount to be proud of. And our most recent and high-profile development in this space is the Innovation Centre programme. Our vision for the development of innovation centres is to, quote, using the Scottish University infrastructure, human resources, and research excellence as a platform for collaborations across the whole of Scotland. Innovation centres will create sustainable and internationally ambitious open communities of university staff, research institutes, businesses, and others to deliver economic growth and wider benefits for Scotland, end quote. The Funding Council has committed in principle 110 million of core funding for the Innovation Centre programme over the 5 years 2013 to 18 to support such infrastructure. And each Innovation Centre is expected to lever further investment from industry and other sources of public funding. Additional funding for capital equipment and postgraduate places has also been made available by the Funding Council. So again, big investment here. And innovation centres are also intended to support skills and training to develop the next generation of researchers, hugely important, and knowledge exchange practitioners from now through masters and to postgraduate level. So again, recognition that you want to see that supported all the way through. And as Muffy said, we now have 8 innovation centres, and she covered the field and the numbers that we have. The last one, Data Lab, will be launched tomorrow, actually, in Edinburgh, and there will be an oil and gas one to be launched in November. So we see the innovation centres becoming an important part of the Scottish innovation landscape. Therefore, we might argue that, to a large extent, we have a Scottish model, if not a Scottish strategy, on some of these things. And we've been very encouraged by the interest from overseas in just what we're doing in this area and the extent to which, I see Pete Downs in the audience, we did an awful lot more about the pooling and the innovation centres and the extent to which they can learn from what we're doing. So to conclude, I've provided you with some background information about developments in Scotland and the role of the Funding Council. I hope some of the points will provoke some discussion, and I certainly look forward to the rest of the evening. Meantime, I'll leave you with this little slide to lighten the mood a little. I couldn't come to the RSC without discussing science and without referring to Peter Higgs and the Higgs boson. And as you will see here from this slide, you've got researchers requesting a further $3 million funding to find the Higgs boson, to be reminded, not perhaps by a Funding Council official, but perhaps that we already have one. Thank you very much for listening.